Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, April 4th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
negotiators from Russia and Ukraine prepare to resume peace talks.
At the same time, Kyiv accuses Kremlin forces of war atrocities.
On the economic front, a new survey finds the U.S. poised for recession next year.
And a prominent Wall Street strategist says the bear market rally in stocks is over.
President Biden calls for Congress to act on guns after the Sacramento shooting. Plus, Broadway's Macbeth has been halted after Daniel Craig gets COVID. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Easy win for the Knicks. Shootout loss for the Rangers. South Carolina won the women's NCAA. The men play tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are starting out the week higher. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points this morning. Dow futures are little changed, and NASDAQ futures up 53. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.39%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.45%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. First, the latest on the war. Negotiators from Russia and Ukraine may resume video talks today. Meantime, the U.S. and Ukraine are calling on international courts to investigate potential war crimes in the cities around Kyiv. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the details.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the videos that Ukraine released are alarming.
We can't become numb to this. We can't normalize this. This is the reality of what's going on every single day.
And through a translator, President Volodymyr Zelensky says the investigation has to go further than just Vladimir Putin.
All the military commanders, everyone who gave instructions and orders should be punished.
Zelensky says the atrocities go way beyond torture. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. The European Union is also speaking out on the war. Some EU governments want to impose more sanctions following allegations of Russian war crimes. We go live to London and get the latest from Bloomberg's Max Ramsey. Good morning, Max.
Morning, Karen and Nathan. We had this very powerful statement from the EU blaming Russia for what they call haunting images of large numbers of civilian casualties. The Foreign Affairs Chief Josep Borrell says the massacres in Bucha and other Ukrainian towns will be inscribed in the list of atrocities committed on European soil. So now the EU says it will work on further sanctions on Russia. Currently, this looks like strengthening existing measures and closing loopholes. But there's some support for much stronger action, whether on energy or on visas for Russians. Russia does deny killing civilians. It says the images are fake. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Max, thank you. Let's turn from the war now and focus on the economy. A new survey calls for a recession in the U.S. as soon as next year. Let's get details on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Close to half of financial professionals and retail investors see a U.S. recession next year. That's according to results of our Bloomberg Markets Live weekly survey. Only 15% say it could happen this year, 21% flag 2024, and 16% see a U.S. recession waiting until 2025 or later. Just over half of the 525 respondents believe the inversion between 2 and 10 year Treasury yields is the most likely warning signal among yield curve inversions. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And how will the Fed respond to the current economic climate? We get some clues this week with remarks from several officials. And here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Tomorrow, Fed Governor Lael Brainard takes part in a virtual discussion on the unequal impacts of inflation. It's hosted by the Minneapolis Fed. On Wednesday, Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker discusses the economic outlook. On Thursday, St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard will discuss the economy and monetary policy. Also Thursday, Raphael Bostic of the Atlanta Fed and Charlie Evans of the Chicago Fed will take part in an event on economic mobility and inclusive full employment. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. On Wall Street, looks like there could be more pain ahead for stocks. That's according to one prominent strategist, and we get the details on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, the recent run-up in the S&P 500 was nothing more than a bear market rally that's run its course. That's according to Morgan Stanley strategist Mike Wilson. He thinks the index is a rough month ahead as it becomes vulnerable to slowing economic growth. In a note to clients, Wilson says defensive stocks remain the place to be. Morgan Stanley strategists are also more constructive on bonds than stocks over the near term. They say the 30-year bond offers an excellent hedge against the growth scare they expect from Fed tightening. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And pre-market trading this morning, shares of Tesla up more than 1%. Over the weekend, the company said it delivered more than 310,000 cars worldwide in the first quarter. That's a record and came in above analyst estimates.
In the meantime, Karen, shares of Starbucks are down 1% in early trading. Founder Howard Schultz is making moves as he returns to the CEO post. He's also suspending a share buyback program, saying the cash could be better spent on stores and staff. Schultz is 68 years old. He's taking over from Kevin Johnson on an interim basis while Starbucks searches for a permanent CEO.
Well, Nathan, stocks in Asia performed well overnight. That's after China made a conciliatory move that could remove a key hurdle in its fight with the U.S. over auditing Chinese firms listed in New York. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index gained after two sessions of losses boosted by internet giants Tencent and Alibaba. The Hang Seng Tech Index gained more than 4% intraday after China modified a decade-long rule that restricted financial data sharing by offshore-listed firms. Japanese shares were fairly unchanged while stocks jumped in India on a financial sector merger and markets in mainland China and Taiwan were closed for holidays. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Juliet, thanks. Let's turn to politics in the region now with a change on the way in Hong Kong. Chief Executive Carrie Lam says she will not run for a second term. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more.
Lam's announcement ends a tumultuous 5 years that saw Hong Kong become more isolated globally. That was due to a crackdown on pro-democracy protests and rigid COVID-19 restrictions. Lam said she informed Beijing last year that she would not run for a second five-year term on May 8th. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Futures moving higher this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street, 39 degrees in Central Park. Avoid the upper level of the George Washington Bridge. We'll tell you why in traffic in just a minute. First, Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Biden says Congress must act on guns after the Sacramento shooting. Biden is calling for banning ghost guns, limiting gun manufacturer liability immunity, and requiring background checks for all gun sales. Sacramento police say at least two shooters are at large after killing six people and wounding 12 others early Sunday. Mayor Daryl Steinberg says it's past time to deal with gun violence.
It is beyond time to have a sane conversation about guns in America. We have a sickness. It's a sickness in our country. It's a sickness in our culture.
Mayor Steinberg says so far there is no motive for the shooting. New York Mayor Eric Adams talked about gun violence. Adams says he talked to the president about the issue over the weekend.
We really have to have a combination. We have to stop the flow of guns, but we must also do the job of getting the guns off the streets that's on there now. And my anti-gun unit, they're doing that. Just a few weeks out, they removed over 20-something guns off the street.
Adam spoke on CBS's Face the Nation, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Jury selection is set to begin today in the sentencing trial of Parkland, Florida school shooter Nicholas Cruz. Jurors will decide whether sentencing him to death for murdering 17 people in the 2018 massacre. He confessed to opening fire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and already pleaded guilty to those crimes last October. U.S. airlines are restoring service after bad weather and staffing issues contributed to more than 3,500 weekend flight cancellations. So far today, according to FlightAware, only about 162 flights have been canceled. Daniel Craig's return to Broadway in a new version of Macbeth has been temporarily halted after the actor contracted COVID-19. Performances are canceled through Thursday. John Batiste took home Album of the Year honors at last night's Grammys. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky appeared in a video message during the show asking for support for the war in his country.
Tell the truth about the war on your social networks, on TV, support us in any way you can, any but not silence, and then peace will come.
Zelensky made his plea during the Grammys that were held in Las Vegas. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Perennial college basketball powers meet tonight in New Orleans for the NCAA championship. North Carolina's won the title 6 times. Kansas 3. The two teams met in the 1957 final. Tar Heels won 54-53 in triple overtime. South Carolina won the women's title in Minneapolis 64-49 over UConn. Gino Auriemma had been 11-0 in championship games.
I've been in the other locker room a lot of times, and so I know what that feels like, and I've been in this locker room, and I know what that feels like, and one team's going to be, you know, a national champion and the other team's not, and I think they deserved it 100%. They were the best team all year.
Second championship ever for the Gamecocks. Rangers at the Garden against the Flyers, a team the Rangers should beat. They did not. Fell behind 3-0, tied the game with 3 in the third, had goals 12 seconds apart, but Philadelphia won 4-3 in a shootout. On a goal by ex-Ranger Kevin Hayes. Islanders got a hat trick from J.G. Pajot. He had it by early in the second period. The Isles beat the Devils 4-3. Easy win for the Knicks, 118-88 in Orlando. Just the 18th ever trade between the Mets and Yankees. They swapped relievers. The Mets needed a lefty. With the departure of Aaron Loop, they sent Miguel Castro to the Yanks for Joely Rodriguez. Yankees also sent reliever Albert Abreu to Texas for catcher Jose Trevino. Tiger Woods calls himself a game-time decision, unsure whether he'll play the Masters. He suffered serious injuries 14 months ago in that car accident. He had said recently he was just happy to have his limbs intact, but Tiger recently played an 18-hole practice round at Augusta. Masters begins Thursday. Hourly reports throughout on Bloomberg Radio. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 17. NASDAQ futures leading the gains right now. They're up 54 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 5/32 now. The yield, 2.40%. Yield on the 2-year is higher at 2.45%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, mid-50s today. Some late-day rain tomorrow with a high near 60. We'll be back in the mid-50s by Wednesday with rain ending in the afternoon. Right now, 39 and clear in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We have breaking news on Twitter this morning. We go live to New York and Bloomberg's John Tucker with the latest. John, good morning.
Karen, this is according to a filing this morning with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has now taken a 9.2% stake in Twitter. That adds up to a staggering 73 million shares. No word from Musk so far. Usually has a tendency to tweet about such things. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And again, shares of Twitter moving higher this morning, again up about 27%. Stocks in Europe and U.S. stock index futures are gaining this morning as traders weigh the latest developments in the Ukraine war, with peace talks set to resume amid a new push for stiffer sanctions on Russia. Check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up about 10 points now. Dow futures up 26 and NASDAQ futures up 65. So futures are getting a bit stronger this morning. The DAX in Germany up about 0.2%, also extending its gains. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.39% now. The yield on the 2-year, 2.45%. And Bitcoin this morning is at $46,000. It's down about 0.8%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Both the U.S. and Ukraine are calling on international courts to investigate potential war crimes in the city surrounding Kyiv. President Biden is calling on Congress to act on guns after a mass shooting in Sacramento that left 6 dead and 12 wounded. The Senate Judiciary Committee votes this morning on whether to move Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination to the Senate floor. South Carolina has captured its second national championship in the women's NCAA basketball tournament. The Gamecocks shut down UConn 64-49. The men's NCAA tournament final is tonight. between Kansas and North Carolina. In the NBA, the Knicks won. The Celtics beat the Wizards 144-102. The Warriors were also winners. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Devils 4-3. The Rangers lost in the shootout to the Flyers, also 4-3. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and joining us now from Budapest is Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo as we continue following all the latest on the war in Ukraine, not the least of which is these images that Ukraine has put out of what appear to be atrocities committed by Russian forces pulling out of the city of Bucha. The European Union has said it holds Russia responsible. How could Europe respond, Maria?
Well, I mean, we've all seen the pictures of this town, which is on the outskirts of Kyiv. Ukrainian officials entered. They say they liberated the town and they found mass graves. There's reports of more than 400 civilians killed. There's, of course, reports of sexual violence committed on Ukrainian women. All of this, as you know very well, under every international convention would be war crimes. Today we heard from the French President Emmanuel Macron say that he clearly does see signs of war crimes. And everyone responsible will have to face international justice. The Polish prime minister went even further. He said, this looks like genocide. And of course, the question is, what do we do next? What can Europe do next? And a lot of this will focus on the energy conversation. This is something that Europe has tried to delay for a while. They know that it will be a painful decision if you embargo Russian energy, coal, gas. But ultimately, at this point, it is almost inevitable that this debate will have to feature energy at one point.
If there is the possibility of oil being on the table here, I mean, what could that mean for the market if we do start to see Russian oil and gas actually being targeted for sanctions by Europe?
Look, I think first, in my opinion, my guess on this is that Europeans see oil as the moneymaker for Russia and gas as the geopolitical arm of this whole thing. Then don't forget that we also have coal coming in from Russia, too. So to me, the question is, what is going to be sanctioned first, if any? And or is it all going to happen at the same time, or do they go coal first, oil next, and ultimately gas after, given the dependency that some European countries have? What's the repercussion? Of course, we know what the repercussions would look like. It would probably send Europe into a recession. There's already talk, perhaps, that we would have to start rationing energy. You would see the cost of living once again go up. We have seen bills in Europe essentially rocket now for 8 months, and of course all the economic and social repercussions that this has. But the debate that the European leadership has to face now and really own is, what's more acceptable? What's the right choice to make? To take an economic hit but try to accelerate the end of the war, or just continue for small and targeted sanctions, hoping that there's a ceasefire with all of the repercussions that it carries in human lives, like we've seen over the weekend?
You're in Budapest, obviously covering the Hungarian elections and the apparent victory of re-election for Prime Minister Viktor Orban. With Orban continuing in power, Maria, how could that potentially affect the dynamic when it comes to the EU's response to what is happening in Ukraine?
Look, I think we're going to see a lot of tension here. We're going to see a lot of scrutiny. And yesterday, Viktor Orban, it was really an incredible celebration speech. He said he was able to have a great victory. You could see it from the moon. It was so big that you could see his victory from the moon. He blamed international finance, the international press. He talked about bureaucrats, Brussels, all of his enemies. And he also name-checked President Zelensky. So as you can see here, this is a country that is essentially breaking away from the rest of European diplomacy, that it is becoming a headache for Europe, and there's going to be real questions as to whether or not a Hungary like this is actually compatible with European values.
In our last 30 seconds here, Maria, we are expecting possibly talks to resume between Russia and Ukraine. How do you expect these talks to go, given what Ukraine is accusing Russia of committing in Bucha?
Well, it's what Ukraine says is there's mass crimes happening here, people that were executed for no good reason, rape being used as a war tool, all of this, of course, which Russia denies on the record. But you can see that the foundations for actual honest talks will clearly have been decimated by this.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo with us this morning from Budapest as we continue our team coverage, the latest on the war in Ukraine. Thank you, as always, Maria. Looking ahead to the market open on this Monday morning, futures moving a bit higher with S&P futures right now up 10 points, Dow futures up 30, NASDAQ futures higher by 71 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 5/32. The yield 2.40%, yield on the 2-year 2.45. We continue to watch shares of Twitter on a filing that shows Elon Musk has taken a 9.2% passive stake in the social media app. It's up nearly 25% in the pre-market. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors. Challenging times call for proactive advisors who help minimize taxes, increase cash flow, and create opportunities for the future of your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 0.83% to 1.83%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, Russia and Ukraine may resume video talks later today, even as Kyiv accuses Kremlin forces of carrying out atrocities. Russia is dismissing images of executed unarmed civilians as fake. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky says the war is destroying his country.
We couldn't have imagined anything like this, because this is a maniac type of decision to destroy the whole nation.
Zelensky spoke through an interpreter to Face the Nation on CBS. You can catch the show every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. President Zelensky also made an appearance at the Grammys with a video message asking for more support.
Our musicians wear body armor instead of tuxedo. They sing to the wounded in hospitals, even to those who can't hear them. But the music will break through anyway.
Zelensky is accusing Russia of committing genocide in Ukraine.
Well, Nathan, some EU governments are pushing to impose more sanctions following allegations of Russian war crimes, but there's no consensus yet on a new sanctions package.
Well, Jamie Dimon is also calling for more sanctions on Russia, Karen. That came in his annual letter to shareholders, where the J.P. Morgan Chase CEO also said the Fed may raise rates higher than markets expect.
Meantime, Nathan, a new survey is calling for a recession next year, and we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Close to half of financial professionals and retail investors see a U.S. recession next year. That's according to results of our Bloomberg Markets Live weekly survey. Only 15% say it could happen this year. 21% flag 2024 as the most likely timing. Just over half of the 525 respondents believe the inversion between 2- and 10-year Treasury yields is the most likely warning signal among yield curve inversions. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. And turning to corporate news this morning, some big breaking news on Twitter. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that. John?
Tesla CEO Elon Musk has now taken a 9.2% passive stake in Twitter, snapping up 73 million common shares of the company. The news comes from an SEC filing. So far, no comment from Musk, and in the pre-market, shares of Twitter right now up almost 28%. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 40 degrees in Central Park. 1 hour delays now on the inbound upper level of the George Washington Bridge. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael, good morning.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Good morning to you. President Biden is calling on Congress to take action against gun crimes after six people were shot and killed early Sunday in downtown Sacramento. Police say three men and three women were fatally shot. 12 others were wounded. Authorities say there were at least two shooters. Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg says it is past time to deal with gun violence.
This sickness will be cured someday in this country, or we will destroy ourselves in this country.
Mayor Steinberg says a motive has not been offered. Meanwhile, New York Mayor Eric Adams says he spoke to President Biden over the weekend about gun violence. Adams says his crime task force has been out on the streets collecting illegal weapons.
70% of those who were carrying the guns had prior violent offenses. So we need to combine with that small number of people who are carrying guns with the large number of guns on our street and get both off our street.
Adams spoke on CBS's Face the Nation, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. The Senate Judiciary Committee is set to vote today on confirming Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court. A full Senate vote is possible this week, White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain.
She will get enough votes to get confirmed. In the end, I suppose that's the only thing that matters. But I wish more Republicans would look at the case here, look at the record, and vote to confirm Judge Jackson.
Chief of Staff Klain says Judge Jackson would be the first black woman confirmed to the nation's highest court. However, Republican Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri says he won't vote to confirm her.
The judicial philosophy seems to be not the philosophy of looking at what the law says and the Constitution says and applying that, but going through some method that allows you to try to look at the Constitution as a more flexible document and even the law.
Both Senator Blunt and Chief of Staff Klain spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Daniel Craig's return to Broadway and a new version of Macbeth has been temporarily halted after the actor contracted COVID-19. Performances are canceled through Thursday. John Batiste was the big winner at last night's Grammy Awards with 5, including Album of the Year. Silk Sonic took home Record of the Year. The Foo Fighters dominated in the rock categories but skipped the show over the death of drummer Taylor Hawkins. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Here's John Stashower with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, Kansas and North Carolina tonight in New Orleans for the NCAA Championship. Jayhawks have won the title 3 times, Carolina 6 times. Was not expected to win this year. The Tar Heels were an 8 seed. They lost 5 games by more than 16 points. They lost at home to lowly Pittsburgh, but since that loss, 11-1, 2 wins over Duke, and now Hubert Davis, the ex-Nick, has a chance to make history, win a championship as a rookie head coach.
All I'm thinking about are these kids, these players, and I told them that how happy I am that I get a front row seat just to be able to, for them to go through this season and go through these experiences. It's a blessing for me. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Those are the things that I'm thinking about.
Technically, Steve Fisher won a title with Michigan in his first year, but he was an interim coach who had just taken over. The women's championship in Minneapolis won easily by South Carolina, 64-49 over UConn. Final week for the Knicks, playing out the string. Easy win by 30 in Orlando. R.J. Barrett scored 27. At the Garden, Rangers trailed Philadelphia 3-0, rallied to tie. Mika Zibanejad and the new Ranger, Andrew Kopp, scored 12 seconds apart, but the Flyers won at 4-3. In a shootout, Islanders beat the Devils. That also 4-3, the hat trick for J.G. Pageau. The Isles have won 4 in a row, but still 11 points out for a playoff spot. A rare Met-Yankee trade, Miguel Castro to the Yanks, Joely Rodriguez to the Mets, a swap of relievers. The Yanks also sent reliever Albert Abreu to Texas for catcher Jose Trevino. The Masters tees off Thursday, reports throughout on Bloomberg Radio. Will Tiger Woods play? He calls himself a game-time decision. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is back with us this morning from a well-deserved vacation. And boy, what a lot of moves we're seeing this morning, driven by Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that, right?
I think it is safe to say that. And there's several movers here. Let's just start with the Twitter story because that's obviously the biggest one. We heard John Tucker talk about this. Those shares, TWTR, soaring. We got 26% in the pre-market this morning. Of course, this comes after Elon Musk has taken a 9.2% passive stake in Twitter. That's according to a 13G filing. I'm still waiting for him to actually tweet about this, which will be interesting. What's interesting,
well
we're waiting for it. What's interesting about this move is that when you see Twitter shares move simply because of the Jack Dorsey connection, you also see Square shares move. So keep an eye on SQ as the ticker. It's not going to be driven necessarily by fundamentals today, just because Elon Musk is not taking a stake in Square. He's taking a stake in Twitter. But just the way that some of these kind of trading patterns work, keep an eye on Square shares. SQ is your ticker there, up 2.4%. But Nathan, you were right about the Elon Musk kind of themed morning, because Twitter and Square aren't the only ones moving. Tesla is also moving as well, which is the original, I guess, Elon Musk connection that we have to talk about. Those shares are up 1%. This, of course, after they posted record first quarter deliveries. And it's taking with them a lot of those EV names as well. Rivian, for example, RIVN is your ticker, up 2.9%. You also have similar moves in Nikola. NKLA is your ticker there, up 0.5%. It's also showing up in names like NIO, for example. So a lot of those Chinese EV makers are also catching the benefit.
Yeah, interesting to see the tandem move there throughout the EV space. I also see you're watching Starbucks meet the new boss, same as the old boss over there.
Yeah, what's interesting about Starbucks, and I mean, quite the transition from Elon Musk, is that we know that in this past quarter, we've had a lot of record profits, a lot of record buybacks as well when it comes to the S&P 500. Starbucks now coming out and saying they're going to suspend their share buyback program. This, of course, comes after Howard Schultz takes really his first day back on the job. SBUX is your ticker there. It's actually down 1.6%, Nathan.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, great to have you back with us this morning. We'll be checking back with you throughout the day, of course, and checking stocks as a whole as we get set for this Monday morning open. Kind of mixed now with S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures have moved back lower now by 10 points. NASDAQ futures still higher by 56 points. And the 10-year Treasury is down 5/32 right now with a yield 2.40%. Still seeing inversion between twos and tens. The 2-year yield at 2.44%. That's a spread of almost 5 basis points between twos and tens. NYMEX crude up 0.25%, up 24 cents, $99.50 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3%, or $7 even at $19.30.70 an ounce. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, mid-50s today. Late day rain tomorrow with a high near 60. Back in the mid-50s Wednesday with rain ending in the afternoon. Right now, clear and 40 in the Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Technology shares higher this morning. Twitter is up more than 25%. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures down 9 points, S&P's higher by 5, while NASDAQ futures gain 56. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.4%. Gold and oil are both little changed, and Bitcoin is down by 1%. Hong Kong rose 2.1% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed right now. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. Over the weekend, Tesla reported Q1 deliveries, which beat estimates. And in other news, you mentioned Twitter. Elon Musk took a 9.2% passive stake. Shares are up 25% in the pre-market. Starbucks suspended its share buyback program. And Morgan Stanley's Wilson said the bear market rally is over and the S&P 500 is in for a rough month. Wrapping things up, Baxter was cut to sell over at Goldman Sachs. Zebra Technologies raised overweight at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First for Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Some European Union governments are pushing to quickly impose new sanctions in response to multiple reports that Russian troops executed unarmed civilians in Ukrainian towns. It comes as Ukraine cites more evidence of war crimes in the north. Estelle Harris, who played George Costanza's mother on Seinfeld, has died. Harris, who also was the voice of Mrs. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies, was 93. South Carolina has captured its second national championship in the women's NCAA basketball tournament. The Gamecocks shut down UConn 64-49. The men's NCAA tournament final is tonight between Kansas and the University of North Carolina. In the NBA, the Knicks won. The Celtics beat the Wizards 144-102. The Warriors were also winners. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Devils 4-3. The Rangers lost in the shootout to the Flyers, also 4-3. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
How about we keep wearing masks on buses and subways forever? I'm Justin Fox, the columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. I'm all for returning life to normal, but as a regular rider of public transportation, recently in Los Angeles, this week in the San Francisco Bay Area, and normally at home in New York City, I'd also be happy to keep wearing masks on the bus and subway forever, and would love it if lots of other people did too. This is not a call for continued mandates, just a hope that big city transit users adopt the norms prevalent in East Asia, where masks have long been common in crowded settings, especially during cold and flu season. Doing this would probably reduce transmission of COVID and other viruses. It would definitely discourage eating on the bus and subway. Talking, too. In other words, it's a win-win. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In Shanghai, more than 9,000 new cases of coronavirus were reported Sunday. Thousands of medical staff have arrived as the city prepares to test all 25 million residents. Meanwhile, there are reports in China that new substrains of the Omicron variant have emerged. Roche says the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is giving a priority review for its Roacterma drug to treat hospitalized COVID patients. An FDA approval would be the first of its kind for the type of drug called an immunomodulator. The medicine sold as an arthritis therapy under the name Actemra has already been used to treat more than 1 million people. The FDA approval would be for people who are hospitalized, receiving corticosteroids, and require breathing help. The UK will unveil plans to broaden its energy sources this week. The main focus will be on nuclear and wind power. The government expects proposals for more nuclear reactors and for scaling up offshore wind farms. The government wants to reduce reliance on imported energy. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S. considering even more sanctions against Russia on reports of mass civilian graves left behind as Russia pulled out of cities near Kiev. In an exclusive interview heard here on Bloomberg Radio, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky told CBS's Face the Nation Russia is committing genocide.
When we find people with hands tied behind their back and decapitated, such things I don't understand. I don't comprehend.
And now the U.S. is promising even more support for Ukraine. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby was on Fox News Sunday.
No shipments are arriving even as we speak, including in the last 24 hours. And a lot of that is lethal systems, Javelin anti-armor missiles, Stinger anti-air missiles.
Meantime, talks between Russia and Ukraine could resume today. Secretary of State Antony Blinken tells NBC's Meet the Press sanctions relief could be on the table if Ukraine allows it.
If it concludes that it can bring this war to an end, stop the death and destruction, and continue to assert its independence and its sovereignty, ultimately that requires the lifting of sanctions, of course, we're going to look at that.
Also making news, the White House defending the Justice Department's independence as the investigation ramps up into President Biden's son Hunter and his overseas business dealings. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain was on ABC's This Week.
Of course the president's confident that his son didn't break the law. But most importantly, as I said, that's a matter that's going to be decided by the Justice Department, by the legal process. It's something that no one at the White House has involvement in.
This week, Meet the Press, Fox News Sunday, and Face the Nation can all be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. And now Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins is with us this morning. Emily, we're hearing growing international condemnation of this apparent mass execution in the Ukrainian city of Bucha. What kind of response could the U.S. mount against this?
So the U.S., we don't know exactly what potential sanctions are being considered, but we know that Biden officials have previously discussed secondary sanctions, and these would target countries that continue to trade with Russia. The Biden administration, they could also impose sanctions on sectors of the Russian economy that have not been hit so far, things like mining, transportation, just additional areas. I mean, it's important to note, Nathan, that, you know, the world is continuing to buy billions of dollars worth of Russian oil and gas. And this has kind of given the Kremlin a financial lifeline, even as the Biden administration has said that other sanctions are having an impact. So that's certainly an area where we might wind up seeing additional sanctions as this war and this conflict continue.
And we heard, of course, from President Zelensky of Ukraine, not just on Face the Nation yesterday, but at the Grammys last night, calling for even more support, not just from governments, but from people themselves speaking out. I mean, what kind of further support could the U.S. provide to Ukraine? We heard from the Pentagon spokesman mentioning some anti-aircraft systems moving in. But of course, the big question for Ukraine is closing the skies.
Sure. And that's still something where you haven't yet seen the U.S. be willing to commit to a no-fly zone, just because that could mean that the U.S. would wind up shooting at Russians. This is something that lawmakers are a scenario they're potentially concerned about. But there is momentum in D.C. to pass more aid to Ukraine, whether that's military aid, humanitarian aid. There is definitely a willingness among lawmakers to be able to support Ukraine and what they need. I think they're just looking for the president to wind up to make that request. You're also going to see potentially more sanctions on Russian President Putin. You saw legislation introduced last week from the House that would continue to put pressure on him to end this war in Ukraine.
I want to turn quickly to President Biden's domestic agenda. We got a statement from the president last night following the mass shooting in Sacramento over the weekend, calling on Congress to act on guns. Is there any appetite on Capitol Hill for some kind of gun legislation?
I mean, Biden tried to focus his request on things that he thought might have bipartisan support that they'd be able to do. These are things like requiring background checks on gun sales, banning assault weapons and high capacity magazines, and repealing gun manufacturers' immunity from liability. But to be honest, Nathan, it's been very difficult to pass gun legislation on Capitol Hill. I mean, it could clear the Democratic controlled House, but then it gets very, very tricky with the Senate because of that filibuster. And gun control isn't something that could be done via that reconciliation process that only requires 50 votes in the Senate. So at this point, it would be very surprising if Congress was able to pass anything. I mean, we've seen so many horrific shootings in the last decade, and we've seen Congress just be unable to make moves on this particular issue. If anything, we might see Biden has mentioned his budget proposal that would increase funding for cities to fund the police and fight crime prevention. That might be something, that funding of the police could be something that winds up passing.
All right. As always, thanks, Emily. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from Washington. And you can read more about these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures ahead of the open up 4 points. Dow futures down 20. NASDAQ futures up 53. And the 10-year Treasury yield just shy of 2.4%. Bloomberg surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.